I'd like to concentrate this morning particularly on verses 3 and 4 in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Speaking about the subject of suffering and this question that appears in the bulletin, why suffering? I don't pretend to be able to give a full answer, and I don't think the Apostle Paul pretends to give a full answer here. He gives us a partial answer. And it's an answer, I think, which applies to each one of us. As I look at my own family, I see my mother, who has been confined to a wheelchair for 20 years. For 15 years, she was diagnosed as having multiple sclerosis. And when she went into the hospital to have gallbladder surgery, a quick review of her records showed that a particular test had not been given, and without that test, multiple sclerosis could not positively have been confirmed as the disease she had been suffering from for those 15 years. When that test was run, it turned out she didn't have multiple sclerosis at all. She had a disease which was operable and curable. But for the want of a simple test being taken, it was not discovered until surgery really didn't do very much to help her. And the question always comes, why? Why? And I think that case is typical for all of us. And as I say, the Apostle Paul does not give us a complete answer here, but only a partial answer. Speaking in the first chapter, beginning again with verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted of God." First of all, the apostle comes to us with words of praise. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is to be blessed. He is to be eulogized. That's really the word which is set forth before us. We are to speak well of our God. And the word is often used in a funeral service, or the concept is often used in a funeral service when an individual is eulogized. We speak well of that individual. And that's what the Apostle Paul is telling us here. We are to speak well of our God. And this God is further defined, isn't he? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are speaking of the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ here. We are not speaking of some other God. The apostle in another place says there are many lords and there are many gods, but there is only one true and living God. He is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are speaking of the God of Christians, not another so-called deity. And you'll notice that the Apostle Paul makes it very personal here. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is to be understood as the God and Father of our Lord. And if we understand anything about the Christian faith, we ought to understand that the basic confession of the Christian faith is the confession that Jesus Christ is Lord. The apostle says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that no one can say Jesus Christ is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. In other words, to really utter that confession, we must have renewed hearts. We must have experienced the blessing of the Holy Spirit within our lives. And the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 10, that if we confess with our mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised Him from the dead, we shall be saved. There it is again, that basic confession. And that's why Paul puts it so personally here. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You and I must confess Him as Lord. And this lesson really cannot properly be understood unless we are Christians. And if you have not truly repented of sin and confess Jesus Christ as Lord this morning, the lesson really will not make much sense, because it's in the context of understanding the basics of the Christian faith that Paul comes to us with this lesson. And so you must bow before Christ and accept Him as your Lord, as your Master. And again, if you have not bowed before Him, now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the time to get that straight. Because, again, the lesson does really not make a whole lot of sense unless you come to Christ. Well, look at verse 3 again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul goes on to give us an understanding of this God, the Father of mercies. If there is any mercy which we experience, if there is any goodwill which we experience, it comes from God. He is the author. He is the Father of mercies. This morning we talked about Jonah in our adult class. And again, it strikes me so forcibly that one of the lessons God was attempting to teach Jonah was the lesson of His mercy upon men and women and children. His mercy. He is so much more merciful than we are, so much more compassionate than we are. And it's very difficult for us to really understand the depth and the height and the width and the breadth of His mercy and compassion when we only look at it from our narrow perspective. He is the Father of mercies. They all come from Him. And He is the God of all comfort. If there is any good gift, it comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness or shadow of changing. He is always the same. And although a famous hymn tells us, taken from Ecclesiastes, a famous hymn tells us that His mercies are new every morning. To us they are new as we experience them. But as the author of mercy and the God of all comfort, from His perspective, they are not new. They all come from Him. And then the apostle gives us reason for blessing Him. Verse 4. Who comforts us in all our afflictions. Yes, we have afflictions. I know I do. And the Apostle Paul had afflictions too. He uses the very same word in verse 8. He says, "For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia." And then if you turn to chapter 11 in 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul reviews some of those afflictions. Chapter 11, verse 23. He says, "Are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane, I more so, far more labors, in far more imprisonments, beaten times without number," he says. "Often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure upon me of concern for all the churches. Who is weak without my being weak?" he says. These were Paul's afflictions. Stoned, beaten, experiencing nakedness, hunger, thirst, peril, you name it. And then there are those spiritual afflictions which he also names. And we experience those too. Other things which Paul does not elicit here, but which fall in the same category, are ill health and disease. The things we experience in this life because we live in a fallen world. The things which come upon us because of the curse, because of sin. Paul says the last enemy which is to be defeated is death itself. And all that disease, and when we fail physically, those are things which are afflictions, which are just bits and pieces of that greater and final affliction that comes upon us. That's the kind of thing that the apostle is talking about. The Lord Jesus speaks about the same thing in John chapter 16, verse 33. That's a familiar verse. John chapter 16, verse 33. He says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation. But take courage, I have overcome the world." You see, the apostle is talking about all of those things that come upon us because we are members of this human race in this world. A world which by and large is hostile toward God. And we experience many things because this world is hostile toward God. Dangers, hardships, disease, death. All those kinds of tribulation. But the apostle tells us that we ought to thank God and we ought to praise Him, because He is the one who comforts us in all our affliction. There are those who seek comfort from wealth, from alcohol, from being beautiful, from seeking better health, and the comforts of this world, they are fleeting. God is the God of all comfort. And that word comfort is very interesting because it's the very same word which is used of the Holy Spirit. Comforter. Jesus promised that He would send another comforter. He would call someone else to come and stand beside us. That's the root meaning of that word comfort. To come and stand beside us. God is the God of all comfort. He is the one who simply comes and stands beside us. I remember a man in a congregation I served who suffered through a divorce. And yet through it all, he, to my way of thinking, remained one of the most compassionate individuals I have ever met. And he would go when someone was sick, he would go to the hospital and he would sit up all night and he would just sit by their bedside to be next to them. To be of comfort to them. To simply be there. And how often it's been said to me and to others, and perhaps you've heard those same words, I'm just so thankful that you were there. And you wonder, well, I didn't do anything. But yet, you were simply there to clasp a hand, to utter a prayer. To simply be there. That's what Paul's talking about. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. He's always there to stand beside us, who comforts us, who stands with us, to simply be there in all our afflictions. You see, it's not that God removes the afflictions. It's not that God removes the trials and the temptations. He doesn't do that, does he? No, he doesn't. He calls us to go through them and to understand that he is there. He is the God of all comfort. And that we lean upon him and upon him alone. I remember another woman in a congregation who suffered from childhood diabetes. And if you know anything about that disease, you know that as someone gets older, it can bring terrible havoc upon the physical body. And this woman had just lost one of her legs below the knee. And she would often say to me when I visited her, "What good am I? What can I do?" Well, it so happened in God's providence that there was another young lady in the congregation who suffered from the same disease. And this woman could forthrightly tell this other young lady, "Look, these are the mistakes I made when I was your age." And she could encourage this other young lady. She could bring comfort to this other young lady. She could stand beside this other young lady. And how could she really do that and do it effectively? Well, Paul also gives us the answer to that question in our text. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. This woman who had lost a leg and very often wondered why and had wrestled through herself, wrestled with God with regards to her disease. She had found comfort with God, although she was like the psalmist David in Psalm 13 and cried out, "Why?" She came back to her God and said continually, "I will praise him." And because she had found comfort from God himself and knew how to cope with that disease, It wasn't a very difficult task for her to turn to someone else who had the same affliction and say, "This is what God can do for you." And my friends, that's really what it's all about. That's the bottom line. That's what God is really leading us to. Because you see, the comfort which we receive from God is not an end in itself and never ought to be considered an end in itself. We are to pass it on. We are to give it to others. And that's really a part of the answer, isn't it, that the apostle gives us. Look again at that text. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." I think of another pointed example of this. My wife's sister, not too long ago, gave us a little pamphlet to read. It was a pamphlet written by a woman who has since died of cancer. And while she was suffering through the throes of that disease, she saw that many people found it difficult to minister to her. You know how that goes, don't you? You see that individual in a wheelchair and you're just a little bit hesitant to go up and talk to them because you don't quite know how to approach them. And so this woman took it upon herself to write a little pamphlet. And it's just filled with little hints on what to do to help a person who's suffering from a dread disease. And in the end, what has this woman done? She's come to us as a good example of what Paul has told us here. That she learned through her experience how comfort could be brought to others. And although she did not always experience that comfort from others, God taught her. And now she's sharing. She's sharing what she's learned with others. And we can all learn from her. I can and you can. Why does God bring us through these times of suffering? So that we can take advantage of the wonderful comfort which He offers us. And not only so, so that we can take the comfort we've learned about from God and give it to others. What a challenge that is. I know it's a challenge for me. And I hope you'll take the challenge. And take advantage. Yes, take advantage of those times of sorrow and suffering that come your way. Take advantage of them. And learn from God. Learn His comfort so that you can help others. Will you do that? Let's pray together, shall we? Father in heaven, thank You that You are a good God, full of mercy and compassion. Help us, Father, that we won't be like Jonah of old, who, although he saw Your mercy and compassion and knew that it was true, he recoiled against it. Grant that we would not be like that, Father. But grant that we would take the lesson that the Apostle Paul gives us to heart. And take advantage. Take advantage, yes, of Your mercy and compassion. Learning from You, that we can help others. Bless us to that end. And encourage us, Father, we pray, in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.